Wow, it's been so long. I don't even remember how we started it before.
We didn't really. There's no like.
There's no thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is kind of Three Blind Drinks.
Perfect.
At this point, we haven't recorded since the. I guess we should also say our names, right?
Oh, yeah.
We did that.
Yeah, we used to say our names.
So I'm Chris Retz.
And I'm Jack Mottman.
And yeah, this is almost kind of maybe Three Blind Drinks. Although it's mostly just a conversation between the two of us over some whiskey, about everything that has transpired since we last, recorded.
So like I was editing the grocery store episode and I was like, mm-hmm. Oh man, there's some like serious like FOMO now. Like I was like, all those people in that grocery store, they're not far enough away from each other. They're not wearing masks.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then today, you know, one of the, this is the first time I've bought whiskey since the whole, coronavirus thing.
Oh yeah.
And so, looking at bottles of whiskey through my foggy glasses and my, and my bandana around my mouth, was a singular experience.
The first time I went to the grocery store with a mask on, I was just using like a bandana and it like made me claustrophobic. Like I had a really hard time.
Yeah. 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 See, so for me, for some reason, it's the bandana feels better than like the official kind of, you know, medical style mask, mm-hmm. which is what gives me that reaction. Like I almost feel like I can't breathe because I don't know if it's the carbon dioxide building up in the mask or what, or if it's just all psychological.
I think it's all psychological.
But yeah, it's very weird. And then I'm always like tempted to like fidget with it and adjust it and stuff like that, you know? So yeah, it's wild. It's a wild experience. So I had to go out and get whiskey.
Exciting. Did you get your favorite whiskey?
Because I didn't have any. I didn't, but it's crazy. Like I felt so, so much more knowledgeable, stepping into the whiskey aisle, than I did, prior to starting this, this little endeavor of ours. So,
that's encouraging.
Yeah, well, I think so. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to growing even more and learning even more. But yeah, so what I did, and this kind of immediately jumped out at me, but what I did, are we revealing what we're drinking now? Is that cool?
Oh, sure.
I can do it. Is that almost kind of immediately upon stepping into, the aisle, is the name Whistle Pig jumped out at me.
Oh.
We've had a lot of memorable whiskeys, but for me, that was one of the ones that was the most memorable.
Nice.
Now, my finances are such that this is the cheapest bottle of Whistle Pig. I think that you can
purchase.
I'm curious
how much it was, because Whistle Pig in my mind is like minimum $80.
Yes. Yes. So, this is, I mean, should I say how much it was? I will say it was less than that.
Okay. No, and, you can say. I don't care.
Okay, so it was $46.
Oh, perfect.
And it's because it is the Whistle Pig Piggyback.
Okay.
It is 90, almost 97 proof.
Mm-hmm.
And it is who's the Whistle Pig guy? Dave Pickerel? Is that his name?
Yeah. Good job.
So it is the last thing that he made for Whistle Pig, sadly. Yes. And he made it specifically to be mixed.
Oh, okay.
They say he wanted to like give back to bartenders.
Oh, that's cool.
And say like, here is a rye whiskey at an ideal strength for mixing, I guess. which cool. I didn't even know was a thing. But yeah, I'm drinking it straight, of course. I haven't sipped it yet. But
no, I haven't either.
But that's what I poured. What do you have, Jack?
So a while back we like consolidated all of our stuff. We moved stuff off the bar, put it up in a cabinet because we needed to make room for like Christmas or something.
Okay.
And so I like a lot of my whiskey has kind of been hidden.
Yeah.
And so I was up there the other day and I was looking around and I was like, wait, oh, I forgot about this. And I like have, like you, I have a lot more knowledge than when I bought this. So I like Islay Scotch. I like Boonahabin and Brooklady a lot. And so I had this, I got this for my birthday like 3 years ago and it's a Boonahabin and it's their one called, I don't know how to say it, but it's Seobanach. I don't know. Wow. Seobanach.
Okay.
And what's interesting about it is it's a Boonahabin that's peated, which they don't usually do.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
So haven't had it for a while. I haven't had a sip yet, but I'm excited. It's like refinding something in my cabinet.
That's great. It's like going home again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So one of the things I'm curious about, like we haven't talked on about this a lot privately, but I'm just curious about like what the whole quarantine experience has been like for you.
In March, I got paid out through the month, but I only worked for like 2 weeks. And basically, it was like right when, remember that day when like everything shut down, like they canceled the NHL and MLB and like, that was like a Thursday, I think.
It was February something, right?
No, I think it was like, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I think it was like early March, like March 5 or something.
Okay, all right.
And then I came into work like the next day, everybody was kind of freaking out. And then, the next day was like a work from home practice. Like the whole floor was going to work from home except for my department. And so it was like, cool, we're going to come in. And we all were kind of like, why are we here? Like, it's not important. Like what we're making is not that amazing. I mean, it's of course it's amazing, but it's not that amazing. And so we were all kind of confused. And then the following day they sent us all home at like 10 a.m. They're like, all right, we'll let you know. And at that point they were going to like figure it out.
Yeah.
But they ended up just not having anyone come in or work at all because they couldn't figure out how to get us all to work remotely. Cause what I do, you can't really do remotely. It's pretty challenging.
Yeah.
So yeah, I haven't been working at all. So in theory, I should have made like so many podcasts, but I didn't. I just today finished editing our grocery store episode, which is like probably took me 3 months to do.
It's complex, to be fair.
Mostly because I just didn't do it. Like I just stared at it and was like, oh, that's going to be a pain. So I just didn't
do it. It's a beast. Yeah, it's a beast.
And then I did record an episode with my buddy Ethan in Iowa, but haven't looked at that.
Oh, that's cool. Three Blind Drinks episode?
Yeah, we drank whiskey. We chatted.
Very nice. That's great.
Trying to figure out the setup and how it works.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Cool. I mean, I've been drinking a lot of cocktails. Like I have not been drinking a lot of whiskey.
Cool.
You mean whiskey cocktails, but not like whiskey by itself really much at all. Like last night I had some Ardbeg, but that was the first time I had something straight for like probably a month.
Interesting. Talk to me, Ardbeg, that's Scotch, right?
Yeah.
And like pretty smoky?
Super smoky.
Yeah.
It has a really strong iodine and burnt tire.
That sounds delicious.
It's really good.
That's great, man. That's great. So, like, are you the type of person for whom the isolation is, like, really difficult? Or...
I would say, like, the first couple months were fine.
Okay.
I was, like, looking for work. I was on unemployment, like, trying to figure out. I was okay. This month has been hard just because it's, like, I want to do stuff. Like... It's nice outside. It's just challenging to not be able to go outside. And, you know, I mean, obviously I can go outside, but like we talked about, you have to wear a mask and just like all the normal, like fun, summery things, like go to an outdoor movie or, you know, just seem crazy now. It's like, like we had a big vacation plan. We had to cancel it. Like just, I don't know. It's just been really weird. So this last month has been more challenging.
Yeah. I've been plumbing the depths of my introvert nature, and kind of finding the limits of it. Like I'll reach a point where I'm like, I just need to see someone, and so you know, I'll go like socially distant, visit a friend or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, for me, I feel terrible saying it because, the circumstances are obviously tragic. But for the most part, for me, it's been really amazing. Like I've just been kind of holed up, doing my day job, but then also writing a ton.
Oh, good.
And I've been seeing my kids more, which is a lot of fun because I'm not, you know, driving hours a day in the car. So yeah, for me, I like, if I could kind of replicate this lifestyle almost exactly, while going out, maybe, you know, 15% more than I am currently, I think I'd be set.
That's funny. So I want to hear about your quarantine, but I also want to update you that while we're doing this, my friend Ford texted me. He's gotten in the habit of texting me photos whenever he goes to Costco of whiskey.
Awesome.
So he just texted me a picture of Aberlour, which is a scotch.
Okay.
Which I think I've had, but I can't remember. And he just said, new single malt at Costco. Never seen it before. So I'm getting live updates from the Glendale Costco.
Dispatches.
That's right.
You're getting whiskey dispatches. I mean, that's official, man. That's real time.
Oh, and after our peanut butter whiskey episode, two or three people have texted me pictures of that bottle.
No way.
And they're like, I think I want to buy this. And then they just send me laughing emojis.
All right. Not pictures because they've had it.
No, pictures in the store on the shelf saying, should I get it?
Because I was going to say, like, what do they use it for? I still don't understand. Somebody, I don't know if it was you or Billy, or maybe it was no one. Maybe it was just like after the fact I was talking to someone and they were like, I'll bet that would be really good in like a milkshake.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah. Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
Thus far, that's the only suggestion that, that makes any kind of sense to me in terms of like what you would possibly use that for.
I would be concerned. How much do you have to put in a milkshake to make the flavor apparent?
Yeah.
Like, is it just a little bit? Is it like a mic or is it a lot? And it's like,
I mean, my memory is that it was so, so sweet. Yes. My memory is that it was like drinking. It's like, you know, if you would have taken one of those like syrup bottles from Starbucks and just chugged it, like thick and sweet, kind of like that. And so I'm thinking that in order for the sweetness and like the peanut butter flavor or whatever it was, it didn't even taste like peanut butter, but yeah, whatever it was to like the sweet part of it to show up, you wouldn't need much. But then obviously it wouldn't be very alcoholic at all. It's a strange product. It's a strange product.
I'm glad you have it.
You're welcome to it anytime, Jack.
I don't want it, Chris, at all.
Maybe we could trade off, like as if it were our child and we were a separated couple.
Yeah. You have to find at least one use of this before you can give it back.
All right. Well, I guess I'll make a shake. A pseudo peanut butter milkshake with Screwball.
Yeah, you should try it. That's what it's called, right? You need to try it. And if it works,
all right,
then I also want to try it.
If it works, then we'll post the show notes, or we'll post the recipe in the show notes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've been sipping. Have you been sipping?
Yeah.
And how is it? How's the Boone Hobbin?
It's good, man. It's like the only critique I've read about this whiskey is that since they don't really do peated whiskey, it's like, why would you spend extra money on a distillery that doesn't specialize in this? But I do like their whiskey. So I feel like they've done a good job with the peat. It's not excessive and it's really tasty.
Now, is that because like peated whiskey is more expensive than non-peated whiskey?
No, just seems because like this is like a special release.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So why not buy just like a normal peated whiskey from somebody that does peated whiskey? Yeah.
Like Lafroy isn't that expensive. It's like maybe $40.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good and you're going to have a good time. And why would you go with someone who doesn't specialize this, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's really good. I like Boone Hobbin in general. So
cool. Yeah. Lafroy, like I haven't had Lafroy many times, like maybe two or three times. But it's one of those when I taste it, I'm always like, oh yeah, this is, I forgot how good this is. And this is like, this is what I think of when I think of scotch.
<That's>
I think of this flavor. Yeah.
How's yours? How's
the Whistle Pig is great, man. It's very spicy. But it's and it's also hot.
Mm.
It's very hot. It's got that like hot spicy thing going on. But it's also kind of like tangy sweet too. Kind of like candied apple or something like that. So yeah, it's delicious. I give it a thumbs up.
That's the piggyback, right? That's what it's called.
The piggyback, yeah. It's definitely a... Sorry, go ahead.
The Whistle Pig is known for being pretty sweet. So I'm...
Oh, I didn't know that. I would say that this is no exception. Like, you know, it probably would be less enjoyable if it was less sweet. Like it would be a little off-putting because it definitely kind of socks you in the mouth a little bit. But with the sweetness, it's just like this really interesting kind of tangy, spicy, sweet thing. It's delightful. I love it.
Good.
I read a couple of reviews on it before I got on, and the number of flavor notes that they listed for this thing was pretty insane. I like complex doesn't even begin to describe it really. Like it's like five or six levels of like flavor notes, you know.
All right, I've got a fun idea.
So it was impressive.
I'm gonna look up the flavor notes and you tell me on a scale of 1 to 10 if it is that or not.
I mean, there's so many of them, but all sure. Right,
but I got like 10 here. This, you can go quick. Okay. It's fine.
All right. Okay.
Would you say it's smoky?
No.
Peaty?
No.
Spicy?
Yes, definitely.
How
like
spicy?
Like a 7 or an 8.
Okay.
Probably an 8, yeah.
Herbal?
Yeah. Yeah, less than spicy.
Okay. What would you give it an herbal?
Like a 5.
Okay. Oily?
That's really weird. Is that a flavor note?
Yeah, on this, what I'm looking at.
And not like a consistency note, like not the way it feels in your mouth?
Well, I guess that's what oily means.
I would say no. I would definitely, yeah. I don't know
not
about that.
Not oily?
One. Yeah.
How about full or rich?
Ooh. Rich. I don't know. When I think of rich, I think of things like Christmas spice flavors, mm-hmm. like yeah. deep, like mulled wine flavors. Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit more bright and prickly than that, I think. That may make no sense at all, what I just said.
I mean, it's helpful to define what full and rich mean to you, you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah. I don't think much. I don't think much. Now, it is complex. So okay. In that sense, I guess it's rich.
Is it sweet?
But it is sweet. Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10.
It's not like bourbon sweet, but it's getting there. It's like, I don't know. I hate to hover around. I'll say 6.
Okay.
I'll say 6.
Briny.
I feel like
your favorite word.
I feel like, I love the word briny. I feel like the number 7, by the way, is just such a cop out, you know?
That's so funny. In the episode I was just working on, you said that exact same thing. So you're consistent.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I must have heard that somewhere because there's no way I came up with that on my own. Briny. I don't. So whatever I mean when I say briny, I'm not picking it up here.
Okay. Salty.
Maybe a little bit, like a 3 or a 4.
Okay.
On the back, like on the back end.
How about vanilla?
Now I'm sipping, which is unfair as I'm. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about vanilla.
Okay.
That one's hard for me. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
7.
Fruity?
7 or 8. Yeah, like apple.
And then
yeah,
floral.
Like green apple. Ooh, all right. I'm taking another sip. Yeah, I'll buy floral for sure.
All right, so I just made look at your camera.
Okay.
That's your graph.
That's awesome.
So it's just a square.
Oh
line.
My gosh.
But this is what the distiller, I'll send this to you and we'll put it in the show notes. That's what they say.
Oh my gosh. Dude, that's great. How do they decide? So for those of you listening, if there ever are anyone listening to this, Jack is holding up a graph with all the flavor notes lined up on the, what axis is that? X axis?
Yeah, the flavors are X and then how much they are is Y. So it looks like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. How do they decide what to put next to each other? Is that like the order that the flavors come in?
I don't know. I think it's always the same order, but I'm not sure. We'll look up another one when we're done.
So interesting.
So you mostly match them, except they said it was sweet, and you were like, no, not super sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. You said it was sweet. They said it was very vanilla, and you said it wasn't vanilla. So that
interesting.
Was interesting.
Yeah,
that's good. I didn't want to tell you because I know how suggestible you are.
So suggestible. so suggestible.
Oh,
yeah,
it's 100% rye. Interesting.
Yeah. So what does that mean? That's like the mash.
Yeah.
The grain. Yeah.
Which is probably why it's so spicy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's so interesting that that rye would result in a spicier whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure why that would be per se, but that's just really interesting. I was also really interested in the fact that it is 96.56 proof.
Yeah,
and somewhere on here, it must have been online, I read that's because Dave Pickerel was born in 1956.
Oh, fun. That's cool.
How on the green earth can you just decide your whiskey is going to be 96.56 proof and then make a whiskey that's 96.56 proof?
Oh, do you want me to answer that? Because I do know the answer.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So every whiskey has to go into the barrel at, I believe it's, 62.5.
Okay.
So what is that, 125 proof?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I think it's the minimum. I don't remember. There's a range, I think.
Okay.
And then if some evaporates, it'll actually go up. The proof will go up because the water evaporates. So then when you take it out of the barrel, you taste it. And that's why you have barrel strength whiskeys, which means they don't water it down. It's like literally whatever came out of the barrel.
Got it. Okay.
So this one, you know, came out at whatever, you know, 125 or maybe 130.
Got it.
And they added some water and they're like, is that good? They add a little bit more and they add a little bit more until they're happy.
Yeah.
And there's this whole process with how you add the water. Like if you add it really fast, apparently you can develop a real soapy flavor.
Huh.
So if you add it really slow, it like mitigates that.
Wow. That is fascinating.
And so they're literally drip, you know, once they get down to 100, they're probably just adding drops of water and they're tasting and trying to figure out. And then they have this little contraption that you can stick in the whiskey, take a little sample, and it will tell you the proof.
Wow.
So if you're tasting and when you get it good, you'd be like, okay, this is the one. Then they test it and they're like, okay, we really like this at whatever this one, you know, 96.56.
Yeah, that is fascinating. That is fascinating.
It's also marketing because I don't think they can be that accurate on a huge run.
Yeah, like the 0.56 is an affectation probably, but it's like somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Wow. That would be fascinating to chat with that person. In season number whatever. Once the world is post abnormal.
Yeah.
To chat with the person who's like, you know, tasting the whiskey as it gets diluted and saying, this is where we stop.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we stop. I find that's one of the most difficult parts of art, of the artistic process, of writing or drawing or painting or anything, is saying, all right, this is where we stop. You know?
Yeah, that's the hardest part, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And most of the time, it's a matter of necessity, right? Like you run out of time or you run out of resources. But with this process, you can add as much water as you want.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So how do you know, like, this is the perfect amount?
I mean, that's why you have master distillers and one person who's in charge, because it's their taste buds that are going on the label.
Right. Yeah. You got to be pretty damn familiar with whiskey.
Yeah. All right. So I looked up mine, which is a similar, no, it's less proof. It's 92. And it's almost the inverse. If you want to look at your camera.
Oh, okay.
Check out. It's the same order.
Oh my gosh.
So mine's smoky, peaty, and then it's not spicy, herbal, oily.
Okay.
Where ours line up is on sweet. And then other than that, they're very different. And mine, according to this, which is the distiller app, is 2 points better than yours, Chris. So clearly I win.
Damn it.
JK, JK, LOL.
That's awesome. I mean, 2 points. That's significant. Two points out of how many, though?
100.
100? All right. Well,
yours was 88 and mine was 90. So it's like, it's the same.
It's a B plus versus
A minus.
Versus an A. A minus, yeah. Another thing that I found fascinating is that as I was looking up this whiskey, invariably the reviews that we're looking at were in the B plus range.
Oh, interesting.
And that was true whether they were like a number system, whether it was like 8.8 out of 10, or if it was like literally B plus. These like different reviewers of whiskey were all arriving at the same kind of grade for a whiskey, which is a little mind boggling, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know what that means, and it might just be coincidence, but
yeah, you wonder how much groupthink is there and how much like just objectivity, right? This is a B plus.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, are they looking at each other's papers and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Is there cheating going on? Cool, man. Well, let's talk about the podcast.
Oh yeah. We're doing a podcast.
Let's talk about the podcast. Like, so looking forward, you know, obviously we've had a bit of a curveball with the COVID-19 thing. You know, at the end of season one, we had a little wrap up discussion where we talked about doing some crazy stuff like the grocery store episode and other ideas like that prior to diving into season two, which you know, we've toyed around with some stuff. We're doing this little conversation. But it kind of feels like things are, as I'm sure it does for lots of other people in lots of other contexts as well, it kind of feels like things are a little bit up in the air, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So how are you feeling right now? Like, what are you thinking about the podcast, and what are your aspirations and your dreams for this crazy thing we started doing together?
Yeah, I don't know. I still like doing it. I thought that everybody bringing their own bottle, when we did with Billy and then Ryan showed up, that actually worked really well. And that's
really cool.
Be a good way to move forward. Especially because currently we can't all be in a room together very easily.
Right. Yeah.
And like this, we're kind of playing around with, you know, what if, you know, I bring something from my, you know, cabinet and you do as well. I think that's interesting. I guess if like we keep doing this, it's going to be more and more about the actual interview
and
getting to know the person and figuring out like how do we do that remotely.
Right. Right. Yeah. At least for the time being. Yeah. It's interesting with the grocery store episode, like we met at least two potential interviewees who could be really, really interesting. One, we actually had scheduled, right? And had to call it off right at the beginning of the whole COVID-19 thing. So, and that was the person that kind of helped you out.
Yeah. The person I talked to was totally down to be on the show. And I felt like the person that wasn't there at where you went at Wade's would have been a really interesting person to talk to as well.
Right. Yeah. 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 So I actually forget his name. I will have to look back. But basically, the distiller at Wade's Wine, apparently has been doing this since like the 60s.
That's crazy.
So it'd be fascinating to talk to him and talk about his process and maybe open a bottle of his whiskey.
Yeah, for sure.
As well. Yeah. I mean, one of the things I look forward to is just like talking to more people who know way more about whiskey than I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only so that I can, learn more about whiskey, which has been really edifying for me personally, during this process, but also so that I can kind of talk to, an artist in another arena and kind of talk to them about their art.
Yeah.
And like what it's like to kind of, go on this crazy artistic endeavor where you're throwing a bunch of stuff together and you don't really know, even if you're a master, you're not 100% sure how it's all going to turn out, you know, yeah. And kind of what that process is like. I'm really excited to talk to some artists.
Yeah.
In the whiskey world. And then I also just think like listening back on the first season, like some of the most enjoyable, one of the most enjoyable parts of listening back to the episodes to me has just been hearing like the personal stories of people, you know?
Yeah.
Which is really one of the reasons whiskey's so great. This is just it's just kind of the pretense of getting folks together to share stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great way to, I mean, in a way, it's a great excuse to get together, drink something good, and just get to know each other and figure out. Yeah. You know, because you have this instant commonality that you can actually get right. into and talk about, and that can transition really easily into, so how did you get into this, or why do you like this, or how does your art fit into this world?
Yeah, cool. So maybe some socially distant episodes for the time being. Mm-hmm. If we're able to swing it, like if this works out, if this ends up working out.
Yeah.
Do you foresee us getting back together at some point? What do you see in the tea leaves?
I mean, yeah, eventually.
What will that reunion look like?
I don't know. And I'm sure it'll be spicy and floral.
I'm sure we'll all be wearing masks, right?
Yeah, my gym is just starting to like have people back in the gym. And one of the things is like, we can't touch each other. Like you can't high yeah. five, you can't hug, you can't, you know, like right. there's a lot of like weird human interaction stuff that we are going to have to relearn, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I think in a weird way, the episode where we got together in Billy's courtyard, granted we weren't 6 feet apart from each other, but I'm told that being outside is better than being inside, and there's all these other caveats, but like,
right.
we could probably try to swing an episode where we sit outside and try to do it that way.
The social distancing episode.
Yeah. In person.
I mean, I guess we're social distancing right now. Yeah. So it would have to be, yeah. The in-person social distancing episode. It's difficult to drink whiskey through a mask.
That's true. Gonna have to use a straw. Everyone's gonna have to have a straw. Can you imagine having it through a straw?
That's awesome.
Just drink it in one gulp.
I can't. Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose, right? Because you're yeah. not getting like the air into the liquid that's required.
Yeah, and you're not smelling it. You're just like straight in your mouth. Bad.
That would
bad,
be
bad.
Really intense. I feel like that would be actually a good episode. Is like whiskey through a straw. and then kind of the full experience where you're like smelling it and you're aerating it and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's interesting. We could play around with that.
Done. Cool. Do you foresee any further experimentation happening?
I mean, I would love to buy you something blind and then, you know, see how far down the line you could get with what is it?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Cool.
If, you know, could you tell if it's a rye or a bourbon? Could you tell, you know, all the different categories broadly and then more narrow and narrow and narrow? Like just to see how far you've come.
That's great. I love that. The Chris Rett's Neophytes progress check.
Yeah, like maybe we should schedule this like yearly. So every year
I love it.
I'm gonna buy you 3 minis. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna have Kim pour them for you and see how you do.
Cool. I love that idea. That's 3 blind drinks, but it's 3 blind drinks in a different way.
Yeah.
I love that. Let's do it. Let's schedule it.
All right.
I would love to do the same for you, but mostly because my hope would be that you'd be able to like Sherlock Holmes another
just don't let me see the another the shapes.
We'll have to keep them really secret. I also haven't talked to Billy at all since that last episode, so it'll be really good to catch up with him as well.
Yeah, we should just catch up with him in general. I think that's a good idea.
And see how his whiskey drinking is proceeding.
Yeah.
One thing it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but one thing that seems to me that is a positive side effect of this whole COVID-19 quarantine situation is that it seems to be easier to get alcohol delivered to you.
Yeah, that's true.
Than it was in the past.
Yeah, and I guess that's been relaxed on purpose. And we don't know if it's going to stay that way when this is all over.
Right. Yeah. On purpose so people will chill the F out.
Oh, no. I just mean so restaurants can survive.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah.
But yeah, your reason too.
So also so people can chill the F out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been not like regularly, but kind of, you know, I think 3 or 4 times over the past 15 weeks or whatever it's been since quarantine. I've been going to this really great brewery right by us called Twisted Oak, and just getting a growler from them. Mm. In a way that it never really did before, it feels both fun because I love, they have a double IPA there that I really love. But it also just feels good to like support them in this very minuscule way.
Yeah.
You know, to like buy a growler from this local place. So that's cool. Drinking beer and feeling good about yourself at the same time. It's really nice.
I mean, usually that just goes hand in hand.
The more beer you drink, the better you feel about yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm for it. So this Bunnehabhain, this is something you've had before, yes?
Yeah, it's been probably 6 months or more.
Okay. So now that you've been sipping on it for, I have no idea how long we've been talking, but for at least like 40 minutes, right? 45 mm-hmm. minutes, something like that. How's it growing on you? Are you,
it's surprisingly still pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
Like I just took another sip and it's like, huh? Yeah. You're still there.
My Whistlepig piggyback has calmed down quite a bit, which is nice.
Good.
Yeah, the first sip I had, I was like, wow, this is really hot. Mm-hmm. And it's less hot. It's still as spicy.
Okay.
But that definitely that, you know, that first whiskey drink of the day, thing was in play, where it's just mm-hmm. like, that's kind of all you feel on your first sip. So it's kind of calmed down now and it's spread out a little bit, which is nice. And I'm getting all of the individual flavors and things. I still am not being smacked in the face with vanilla, though.
Interesting.
So I take issue with the experts.
Yeah. You should write them a letter.
Should write them a strongly worded email.
Sir or ma'am.
Dear sir or madam. After drinking this B+ whiskey, have you had any, speaking of non sequiturs, mm-hmm. have you had any moments of just beauty in the last 15 weeks during quarantine? You know, we started off this podcast talking about your trip to Joshua Tree. Mm. And sitting around a fire and
yeah,
sipping whiskey in Joshua Tree while you're sharing stories over a fire. I imagine those moments are a little bit fewer and a little bit more farther between during a quarantine. But have you had any of those over the last 15 weeks?
So my answer isn't necessarily like a moment, but rather something that's happened.
Oh, okay.
And that is that we've gotten to know our neighbors.
Oh, wow.
So like before this, we knew like our manager and okay. one neighbor. Mm-hmm. And mostly because the one neighbor is very outgoing.
Sure.
And like 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks into quarantine, we all just sort of congregated on our like patio/, you know, courtyard area. Mm-hmm. And we all mm-hmm. sat 6 feet apart and we just hung out. Mm. And we learned each other's names. We went around the circle and like, so I think there's probably 24 units. And I would say I probably know, I don't know, 7 or 8, maybe 12 of the units now.
Wow.
And wow. It's great. Like, it's really fun. And it's like, mm. there's a lot of cats in my apartment complex. So like we have something yeah. in common that we can bond over, but it's just yeah. been really great to get to know them and see them mm. outside and say hi, and not just like a hi stranger, but like, hi Joe or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you actually yeah. know them and you can ask about how they're doing and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
That's been really nice. And it's been really great to just branch out in that way and like feel more like a community, which has mm. been really wonderful.
Mm. Wow. That's amazing. That is beautiful and beautifully ironic, right? That yeah. like during quarantine is when is the time that you get to know your neighbors better.
Yeah.
You know, although in LA it absolutely makes sense, because any other time, you know, you spend the least amount of time at home.
Yeah.
You spend the least amount of time like actually among your neighbors. And if you see them at all, you're like hustling off to work, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, certainly in Los Angeles that makes more sense.
What about for you?
Ah, that's great. That's really beautiful. So I mean, when I hear like just about the daily interactions that you've been having, like the big thing for me has just been to spend more time with my daughters. Mm. You know, either at the beginning of the day, I've been really lucky that my mom was really close by to us. And so, even though I've been working from quote unquote home, what I'm actually doing is working from my mom's place.
Okay.
Which is about 10 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
So my commute has gone from 90 minutes one way,
crazy.
to, to 10 minutes one way. And so, you know, and I've used a little bit of that time to write and stuff. But a lot of it I've used just to hang out with my kids and probably similar to the way it is with you and your neighbors. Like, not only has the amount of interaction increased, but like the nature of it has become more profound as well, you know? Because again, I'm not like kissing them goodbye as I'm like running off to work, you know? And even at night when I come home, I'm just a little less haggard. I'm a little less tired, you know?
Yeah.
I'm able to kind of truly engage with them a little bit more. And so it's been really great, like, to have, I've always had a good relationship with them, but to have a relationship with them that's even less kind of utilitarian, you know what I mean? Yeah. Less like, all right, well, let's get you fed and let's just do the next thing that needs to be done, and a little bit more of like just enjoying each other's presence and stuff like that. And really what happens is like, you just get to enjoy each other as human beings a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's been great. They're great folks. My daughters.
That's good.
They're great people. And they've been really resilient during this time, you know, which is crazy for everyone. And so I'm sure it's crazy for them as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're handling it with good humor, and it's been really cool to like to be with them through this time that, you know, maybe they'll be talking about in 30 years. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be some generations. I walked uphill in the snow both ways to school.
That's right. That's right. I lived through the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So too with three blind drinks.
We're going to trudge up the snow.
Both.
Oh, so good.
It's going to be uphill both ways, but
okay.
But yeah, we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. Cool, man. It's been a delight to catch up.
Yeah, it's been nice to see your face and hear your voice.
For anybody who was wondering, the cheapest whistle pig is still very delicious.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well worth it. You know, it's 6 years and it's not 10 years. And it's a little bit lower proof and it's a little bit less expensive, but it's still delicious in my opinion.
That's great. All right. So I think, if you have anything last, what do we call it? Parting shots, last glass,
parting glass,
parting glass,
parting glass, like the old, Irish folk song.
Okay. But before we do that, I think we should, I had this idea. I think I texted it to you. We should just like take shots at each other.
Okay.
But we have to send voice memos back and forth. and we just like, it can be short. It can be like, you know, like think of like Shakespearean insults.
Okay. You know? Got it. Yeah.
And so all right, let's trade those back and forth via voice memo, and then we'll string those all out. And we'll just make a like, you know, a 6 minute in whiskey insult generator style thing.
I bite my thumb at you, like that sort of thing.
Like, okay, I'll come up with one for you.
Please.
Chris is so dumb that he thought this peated Isla was a bourbon.
Whiskey related.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. I just thought that would be funny.
I like that. Parting shots.
Yeah. Take a shot.
All right. Got it. Whiskey mama jokes. Got it. Done.
Perfect.
All right. I love that. That's the inventiveness that that we were looking for in this period, right? Prior to the second season, we were looking for just like craziness. So yeah. That's good. I dig it. That's very right. Nice.
So what's your parting glass? What's the last thing you want to say?
What is my parting glass? Oh man, it's so weird because like so much has happened since we last recorded, dude. Yeah. Like it's not a stretch to feel like to say that it feels like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
that,
that's true.
You know, like so much has happened. So that being the case. Let's say that my parting glass is catch up with someone that you haven't talked to in a while.
Nice.
Yeah. Reach out to someone you haven't heard from in a while. Ask them how they're doing. Check in on them. Maybe even share a socially distant sip of whiskey together. And talk about everything that's transpired because some important stuff has gone down, you know?
Yeah, that's great. That's hard to top. I was just going to, I think I should go frivolous since you went sincere.
Please.
I can't think of anything. Oh, I got it. Draw more graphs. Just draw more graphs in your life. Like if you're concerned, yes. Draw a graph. Think about some things you'd like to judge. Put a squiggly line on it. Done.
Especially in this age of divisiveness, just
yeah.
Whatever argument you happen to be making, make sure there's a hand-drawn graph.
Yes. Think of how many more people you're going to win over with a hand-drawn graph.
Next time you're on Facebook, just whatever you have to say, go ahead and say it, but include a hand-drawn graph.
That's right.
That's good. I love that. That's excellent. All right, man. It's been so long. I know we even had a catchphrase and I don't remember what it was.
Oh, you'll get it. I believe in you.
I mean, it might be that I'm on my third glass of this delicious whiskey, but
it starts with drink.
Oh, it just hit me. It just hit me. I good. Just got it.
Good.
It's drink slowly and get to know each other, right?
You got it.
That's lovely. I love it. That's a good one. I love it.
That thing I said once. That's good.
That's quotable right there.